You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. One of the signs that spring is on its way arrives this week with the start of baseball spring training for the Milwaukee Brewers. Pitchers and catchers report today. Their first workout is scheduled for tomorrow in Phoenix. Their first exhibition game is February 28th. We're going to get a sneak peek at the upcoming Brewers season, but first we're going to look at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. For the ninth time ever, voters failed to elect any of the 25 candidates on the ballot, most notably baseball's home run king and seven-time most valuable player Barry Bonds, seven-time Cy Young Award winner Roger Clemens, and three-time World Series winner and World Series MVP Curt Schilling. Bonds and Clemens have been linked to performance-enhancing substance use, while Schilling has been held back by controversial remarks on social media. The three players have a year of eligibility remaining. Our next guest is one of the baseball writers who gets to vote for the Hall of Fame class this year, or each year. He voted for Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling. Tom Hodricourt is the Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Good. Well, by the numbers, these three players, if it was just the numbers and the stats, they would all be in hands down. Do I have that about right?
Yes. Can we just do that? Can we just say numbers only? You know, the ballots become so complicated in recent years with PED considerations and then Schilling's bad behavior that a lot of people have just said, why doesn't the Hall of Fame just establish statistical benchmarks that get you in and then just take the writers out of it altogether, and then you either are in or not? I'm not so sure that's not a good solution, because we've got a lot to think about these days. It's the wild, wild west out there on that ballot, and very seldom do we have the easy choice we had last year of first-timer Derek Jeter, who got all but one vote. We just don't – it doesn't seem like we have easy ones like that anymore.
Well, I think hovering over conversations like this is always going to be the name of Pete Rose, kicked out of baseball for gambling on games that he was coaching in. So there was like, again, by the numbers, as a guy, he would have been a hands-down Hall of Famer. But that raised the question, like, what level of personal behavior, of getting kicked out of the game, barred from the game forever, what is it that makes you ineligible to be in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Should there be a line there somewhere like that?
Well, at least we're off the hook with Pete Rose, Rob, because the Hall of Fame won't put him on the ballot. We can only vote for people they put on the ballot.
Right.
So the Hall of Fame says you're ineligible. So at least we don't. And we were told years ago that if we wrote his name in, those ballots would not count. So they just put that one, you know, totally off the table for us. You know, the Bonds and Clemens thing, you mentioned that I voted for them. You know, initially when they were on the ballot, I did not. Then I started thinking about it, talking to people, trying to decide whether it was right or wrong. Is this a museum where the best players should be in no matter what they did or whatever? And then I think all of us who vote strongly believe some players have gotten in that did do PEDs. So, you know, it's a weird Hall of Fame when you have the all-time home run leader, Barry Bonds, and then a five-time Cy Young Award winner, Roger Clemens, not listed among the best players ever in the game. So we've all had to draw our own lines in the sand, and here's where I drew mine. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just where I drew mine. If you failed a drug test or were found guilty of PEDs in any way, I don't vote for you. I know a lot of people think Bonds was, but he has never failed a test. He was never found guilty in any investigation. So the same with Clemens. And so I vote for them. But if you don't vote for them, I perfectly understand why you don't. Schilling is just a whole different ball of wax because, you know, he was a clean player as far as we know in the game, but he's, you know, not helped himself with some of his things he's done and said. And so this time he got mad at us for not putting him in. I think he fell four or five votes short. And he just asked the Hall of Fame, take me off the ballot. I don't want to be on there for the last year. I don't want these writers who don't know what they're doing voting for me anymore. So I don't know if they will or not. I'm guessing they won't, and they'll just leave him on there. But he's officially PO'd at us.
Now, with the other two, and just the general PED performance enhancing drug era of baseball. I mean, you know, I talked to Bud Selig on the show. It's been a couple of years now. I think he felt like that era is safely behind us. Baseball is doing better on this issue now. Do you feel comfortable that, yeah, we're not going to be taking the players of today and having to have that argument about them in 10, 20 years?
Yeah, you never say never with this stuff, right? Because, you know, probably while we're speaking, there's some lab going somewhere where some kind of athlete's trying to cheat whatever system he's dealing with. I know the Olympics have dealt with that for years. But I do. I mean, I do think we have good drug testing now. I do think they do a lot of it, and they test for all kinds of things. And so we really don't have many positive tests anymore. So I do think we moved past that. And I think a lot of the clean players wanted it out of the game too, because they didn't like, you know, competing against players who were using PEDs. So I think there was some self-policing as well. But I do think that we have pretty good drug testing. But that doesn't mean there's not people out there trying to cheat the system. It's just the way of life, right? Everybody's always looking for some kind of edge.
Now, before we move on to the Brewers' new season and look ahead here, with a Bonds, a Clemens, a Schilling, if the writers don't end up voting them in, that's not the end of the story, right? There's another way that a baseball player can make it into the Hall of Fame. Do I have this right?
Yeah, there's various committees, veterans committees. That's how former Brewers catcher Ted Simmons got in last year. He got in on the veterans committee. He should have been put in on by baseball writers years ago. If you look at his numbers, he's one of the greatest catchers statistically to play in Major League Baseball. So there are other ways. But, Rob, I'll suggest to you that it might get even harder. A lot of those committees are stacked with Hall of Fame players, inductees. A lot of them don't want those guys. They don't want cheaters in with them, you know, so or guys that they suspect were cheating. So I don't know how much support. You got to get 75% on a writer's ballot. I don't know how much support they'll get from some of those committees, depending on who's on those committees, and they change from time to time. So, but I know Brewers Hall of Famer Robin Yount has served on some of those committees, as well as Paul Molitor. So, but yeah, there are other ways to get in, but it'll be real interesting to see if they're able to. And also, they got 1 year left on the writer's ballot, and I do wonder if some writers are going to vote for him in the last year and consider their punishment being having to wait 10 years to get in. So
baseball,
who knows?
Purgatory.
Yeah, really. And I can't speak for that because I don't know. All I know is, you know, we're pretty transparent with our ballots. Most BBWA writers do put their ballots out there. I always put mine out there. So, we're, you know, it's not a secret thing. We're showing you who we vote for. But it's the waters got muddied pretty considerably here the last few years.
Talking about baseball with Tom Hodricourt, Brewers beat reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Well, it may not look like baseball weather outside, but it is in Arizona. We've got the first pitchers and catchers showing up. Tom, what is on your mind as you look ahead to a new Brewers season?
Well, two or three things, Rob. I mean, the left side of their infield, let's see who's going to play short and who's going to play third. There's lots of different guys involved. Orlando Arcia and Luis Urias, you know, are going to vie for the shortstop job. They've brought back an oldie but a goldie, Travis Shaw, who had some really good years for the Brewers a few years ago, to battle for the third base job. So I'm looking at that. Also, how will Keston Hira look moving from second base to first base? He's going to change positions because they signed Colton Wong, a Gold Glove second baseman. Also, Lorenzo Cain, you know, he opted out because of COVID last year of that shortened season, and he's indicated he's coming back this year. He's a very important player on that team. And then just how the pitching shakes out, you know, over the full roster. Also, it's our first camp in a long time without Ryan Braun. You know, he hasn't officially retired, but he hasn't decided to play either. So he's just kind of waiting and looking at his options right now. So that'll be different, just not having, you know, he played for him for over a dozen years. So it's going to be weird not having him out there.
Well, you mentioned that last season, a short season, weird not having fans there, but changed playoff structure. Is the current plan for a normal-ish style season this year?
It is, you know, subject to change, right? It's going to be interesting to see if everybody can get through the 6 weeks of spring training with all the COVID protocols in one piece without having major outbreaks. And then they do want to play the 162. You know, last year was just 60. So we're going to, you know, that's going to seem like a monster season to go back to 162 after just 60 games last year. And I think we're going to hear people talking about fans in the stands too. I know the Bucks had, 250 last night. Not very many, but I think it'll grow and grow. And I think we're going to hear from the Brewers at some point that they're going to have at least some fans in the stands at the start. And the question is, Rob, how many times will we call it Miller Park instead of American Family Field?
I was going to say there won't be any fans at Miller Park this year, no matter what they do, because it won't be Miller Park.
Not Miller Park, no. American Family Field. We got some real muscle memory to get past there, don't we?
Definitely. Now, are you able to cover it in Arizona, Tom, or do you have to do it from afar here in the frozen tundra?
You know, both. I'm going to be here for a while. Then I plan to get down there in a couple of weeks. There is a limited media access down there. None right now to speak of. So they got a lot of COVID protocols and they're understandable. And so we do a whole lot of Zooming, Rob. baseball's become Zoomarama since last year, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. I do say I'm about as motivated as I've ever been to get out of Wisconsin, man alive, with this snow and cold, right?
Definitely. It's starting to warm up though. Tom, enjoy the season. Hope it's a good one. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you having me on.
That's Tom Hadjicourt, the Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked to him today about the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, the writers vote again denying entry to Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling. That's for the ninth time. And we took a look ahead at spring training for the Brewers and the 2021 season. Pitchers and catchers start training together tomorrow in Arizona for the Brewers.